I guess I just got over. people with the most sophisticated linguistic and disciplined spiritual cults that consider culture amazing pride are those of us who have acquired wisdom through our journey of a half century or more and consider too old to know what's going on. This is an ism that is creeping up on me year by year. I don't think I have to fight back at it. And just when it thinks it's gotten frowning at another wrinkle, I'm going to turn that wrinkle into a smile.
Thank you. issues of other businesses, maybe they consider having an advisory board where they'll find it. Consult me and I'll look at my explainer.
Didn't know.
Well,
was transgender and other options. Nobody marked transgender, nobody marked them. In terms of comfort with people whose sexual orientation is different than themselves, overwhelmingly prayer members said they were comfortable. Mostly up in the 9-10 range of comfort. A couple sixes, but nothing beneath six. So people report that they're comfortable with people comfortable with sexual orientation. On the question of whether adults who have sexual relations with young teenagers, what should be done with them? A plurality, 1/3 again, 8 people said they should be treated and punished. 6 people said they should be treated. Nobody said they should be left alone. 1 person said punished. So in high school, at age 2, whether they should refrain from intercourse, be instructed about alternatives, or have any sort of sex as long as they're in love, safe sex techniques. It was down the middle. 10 people said they should be instructed by alternatives. 5 said they should have any sort of sex. And 4 said they should refrain. On pornography, most people said it should be available just to adults. In terms of the subjects of interest, most respondents, or the subject that got the most response was interpersonal relationships, sexuality and values, sexuality and spirituality, parenting, and sex and aging. And on the scale of whether you're more interested in personal sexual issues or societal sexual issues, prayer members were pretty decidedly on the side of societal versus the personal. Whether they are prayer members or people who responded to the survey are comfortable discussing personal sexual experience, pretty much down the middle. Mostly 5s and 6s, a couple, 8 and 9s, very comfortable, and a couple. Question of whether sexuality as a force in contemporary society is negative 0 or positive 10. The highest number given was 7. Most were in the 3, 4, 5 range, and there were a bunch of 2. Which means that generally people have a feeling that sexuality in contemporary society is a negative force. And I'm looking for the whole ladders of that will really apply. So that gives you an overview. Anybody have any response to that? Okay, so there are 6 workshops in the second half of the OWL curriculum. The workshop 7 is called Sexuality and Developing Relationships. And this is sort of the middle core of the course, which focuses on sexual relationships. First, sexual attraction, and sexually developing relationships, and then committed relationships. In the OWL curriculum, the word marriage is not often used unless it describes people. The general term used is committed relationships, is seen as being more inclusive than the term marriage, because marriage is not the right that all people in our society enjoy. So the focus in this workshop is on intimacy. And the model that's used to demonstrate some aspects of love they use in OWL is Robert Sternberg's triangular theory of love. The idea that there are 3 corners or 3 points to love. Intimacy or passion, where it begins, in many cases, intimacy and commitment. Okay. The consummate form of love, the highest form of love, would be a love that incorporates all of these elements. Intimacy, passion, and commitment. And then there are various other kinds of love that incorporate 1 or 2 elements. Infatuation, passion alone, romantic love, intimacy and passion, companionate love, and what they call empty love, which is just commitment without any passion or any intimacy. But the focus in this workshop is on the word intimacy, because it's one that has a lot of different meanings and a lot of different definitions, and people probably have all kinds of different responses when they hear the word intimacy. So I'm wondering what some of you mean or understand by the term intimacy. What does it mean?
It also involves being able to show your real self to the other person.
Right, it's going to be the next article.
Another exercise in this workshop is called copying the question.
Which one?
That's the question. Answered already. Maybe a generation ago or so, copying the question, we would all know copying the question now, right? Today's voice just copying the question. Copying the question, in this exercise, is getting the essential information you need from somebody you're about to contact. Sometimes relationships develop quickly between people who come from different backgrounds, different experiences, have different comfort levels, and don't think that matters. All kinds of miscommunication can come out of that. I'm going to read a little introduction from Dr. Lee Westheimer's book, Sex for Dummies. Comfort levels with communication, and how would they ask each other for the information they need? How would they ask each other if they're HIV positive, if they think that's so? Brainstorm among yourselves. We'll give you a couple minutes, and maybe some of you will have something for present to them.
And did not use any protection in a new relationship, a very intelligent 45-year-old woman, and it just stopped me dead in my tracks. Apparently, we shouldn't just say the young aren't doing this. It's hard. But then I'm listening to you say about your younger generation, and I'm thinking, well, see, she was 45. And so maybe the younger generation is more comfortable saying, let me see your piece of paper, whereas the 45-year-old woman was uncomfortable with that option. And then you're talking about the condoms, which I agree also, but then don't you get to the point of you're in a relationship, you've been having sex, using condoms, when can you get rid of those? You know? So then it becomes another conversation about happening, I suppose.
I think with Aaron's example, to have a person who doesn't even realize the possibility that he or she maybe at risk is a real lots of people communicating about this and you're not aware that it's an issue. I know I've had these conversations a couple of times, and I think when I've had them, I've started basically came from a place where, you know, I care about my health and your health, and sort of went on from there. And, you know, actually had the conversation before.
committed relationships, one that maybe touches more closely to most of our experiences, not all of us. Now, a committed relationship or love is, you know, something more than intimacy, more than just passion, and more than commitment, according to this model. And so there's obviously poets and songwriters and people have tried to define love for century or millennia. I have six definitions of love that came out of the curriculum. I passed them around on the index cards, and so the people will have those with get those back to us.
Love, I find, is like singing. Everyone can do it enough to satisfy themselves, so it may not impress the neighbors as being very much.
Love is the delightful interval between meeting a beautiful girl and discovering she looks like a hedgehog.
Why?
occurs before intercourse in most households. Some, the husband or wife, may say, let's go do it. But such directness is rare. What usually happens is the husband may say, I think I will take a shower. What that really means is, I'm going to be clean. In U.S. society, the body must be clean before sex. Then the wife says, I'll be upstairs in a few minutes. That is a yes. Or she says, I'm too tired today. I have a headache. I have to get up early in the morning. I have some reading I have to do. There is a whole underground language which people use to say yes or no. Even in marriage, when the sex is legitimate, negotiation occurs, including people married a long time. This is another reason why frequency of marital intercourse goes down with age. As we get older, such negotiation is more tiring. The immediacy of our interest in sexual gratification is reduced, and we say to ourselves, well, maybe tomorrow, even though we have fewer tomorrow. A person may feel aroused and interested in sex, but knows that it requires negotiation. A person may choose to masturbate. One does not have to negotiate as much as oneself. Being turned down for sex, even in marriage, is a bump to the ego, in part because that is how we felt before marriage, in part because in marriage, it is a lie. To protect ourselves, we wait for the other person to make the first move. This is particularly anxiety-provoking for men because it is they who are usually expected to make the first move and who run the risk of being turned down. At the same time, many men have difficulty letting their wives take the initiative. Finding that negotiations are difficult to manage, we may ritualize sex because we do not want to put ourselves on the line every single time. Thursday night becomes a mess. Knowing that it's going to happen on Thursday night makes it okay. A lot of effort is not required, but feeling amorous on Wednesday night starts negotiation all over again. Okay, there seem to be a lot of kind of questionable assumptions or assumptions that we might challenge. Anybody pick up any of those? First of all, the test of sex is within marriage is a right.
Was it
R-I-G-H-T
or
R-I-T? We're just talking about ritual. In this sense, it's R-I-G-H-T. There's something. Also, that the male is always the one who would initiate sex. That sex is only legitimate within marriage. What else? Maybe I'll pick up on a few things.
That's a very inhibitive approach.
Yeah, it's a pretty conventional, almost sitcom sort of description of marriage or sexual relationship.
I was struck by the assertion that the older you get, the more exhausting the negotiations.
Somebody get put down thing to happen, all of that has to be talked about.
The
success of a new drug, Viagra, bridges this. If the guy's taking Viagra, he doesn't have to maneuver her.
study, sexuality and aging, and sexual health. But the reason there are envelopes on the tables is because the last exercise in sexual health, there's also a handout defining what a sexually healthy adult is. All the tables look at this one. The exercise of the envelopes is for you to write down one thing you're going to do in your life to promote your own health or to improve your own health. Sexual health or just physical health. Write it down on an index card or on the back of the order of service or whatever piece of paper you want. Address the envelope to yourself. Hand it up to me at the end of the service and I will mail it to you in 3 months. Something that, on a piece of paper that you want to do to promote your own health, to improve your own health, either sexual health or just physical health. Put it in an envelope, address the envelope to yourself, hand it to me sometime at the end of the service or after the service, and then I'll mail it to you in 2 months.
Thank you.
words were wonderful, and we were struggling through the music. So I said, I leave here.
We know the composer. I learned this song way years ago.
Well, you were a big help.
Perfect composer.
Do we have any new people today? I don't think so. We have some old people like Frank Ilfus who joined us. We have some Virginia, by the way, who said, I want to know about these prairie people. Tell me. So what year did you join? Virginia.
I'm sorry?
What year did you join prairie?
Think about something.